It is a gift the firm has found uncommonly useful. At this time, mentally healthy leaders and other historical figures are indispensable. What better way to cup and bleed them of excess anxiety than to get someone to take over the running of their exhausting little daydreams for them? To live in the tame green lights of their tropical refuges, in the breezes through their cabanas, to drink their tall drinks, changing your seat to face the entrances of their public places, not letting their innocence suffer any more than it already has, to get their erections for them, at the oncomer thoughts the doctors feel are inappropriate, fear all that they cannot afford to fear, remembering the words of PMS Blackett, "You can't run a war on gusts of emotion." Just hum the nitwit little tune they taught you and try not to fuck up. Yes, I'm the fellow that's having other people's fantasies, suffering what they ought to be themselves. No matter if girlie's on my knee, if Cruppingham Jones is late for tea, I don't even get to ask for whom the bells. Now, over a lot of tubas and close harmony trombones, it never does seem to matter if there's danger, for danger's a roof I fell from long ago. I'll be out one day and never come back. Forget the bit you owe me, Jack. Just piss on my grave and carry on the show. He will then actually skip to and fro with his knees high and twirling a walking stick with W.C. Fields' head, nose, top hat and all for its knob and surely capable of magic, while the band plays a second chorus. Accompanying will be a phantasmagoria, a real one, rushing toward the screen in over the heads of the audiences on little tracks of an elegant Victorian cross-section resembling the profile of a chess knight conceived fancifully but not vulgarly so, then rushing back out again, in and out, the images often changing scale so quickly, so unpredictably, that you're apt now and then to get a bit of lime green in with your rose, as they say. The scenes are highlights from Pirate's career as a fantasist surrogate, and go back to when he was carrying, everywhere he went, the mark of youthful folly, growing in an unmistakable mongoloid point right out the middle of his head. He had known for a while that certain episodes he dreamed could not be his own. This wasn't through any rigorous daytime analysis of content, just because he knew. But then came the day when he met for the first time the real owner of a dream he, Pirate, had had. It was by a drinking fountain in a park, a very long, neat row of benches, a feeling of sea just over a landscaped rim of small cypresses, grey crushed stone on the walks, looking soft to sleep on as the brim of a fedora. And here comes this buttonless and drooling derelict, the one you're afraid of ever meeting, to pause and watch two girl guides trying to adjust the water pressure of the fountain. They bent over, unaware, the saucy darlings of the fatal strips of white cotton knickers thus displayed, the undercurves of baby fat little buttocks ablow to the genital brain, however pixelated. The tramp laughed and pointed. He looked back at Pirate then and said something extraordinary.
"Hey, girl guides, start pumping water. Your sound will be the sizzling night, eh?"
Staring directly at no one but Pirate now, no more pretense. Well, Pirate had dreamed these very words, morning before last, just before waking. They'd been part of the usual list of prizes in a competition grown crowded and perilous, out of some indoor intervention of charcoal streets. He couldn't remember that well. Scared out of his wits by now, he replied, "Go away, or I'll call a policeman." It took care of the immediate problem for him, but sooner or later, the time would come when someone else would find out his gift, someone to whom it mattered. He had a long-running fantasy of his own, rather a Eugene Sue melodrama, in which he would be abducted by an organisation of Dacoits or Sicilians, and used for unspeakable purposes. In 1935, he had his first episode outside any condition of known sleep. It was during his Kipling period, beastly fuzzy was as far as I could see. Dracunculiasis, an oriental sore rampant among the troops. No beer for a month, wireless being jammed by other powers who would be masters of these horrid blacks, God knows why, and all folklore broken down. No Cary Grant larking an ounce slipping elephant medicine in the punch bowls out here. Not even an Arab with a big greasy nose to perform on, as in that wistful classic every time he's heard. Small wonder that one fly-blown 4 in the afternoon, open-eyed in the smell of rotting melon rinds, to the 77 millionth repetition of the Outpost's only gramophone record, Sandy McPherson playing on his organ The Changing of the Guard. What should develop for Pirate here but a sumptuous oriental episode? Vaulting lazily and well over the fence and sneaking into town to the forbidden quarter.
Jesus Christ.